Hey there, and welcome to another episode of Tourism Marketing Mastery. I'm your host, Eric Hattersheit, and today's episode is going to be on how to tell interesting stories. Hey, my name is Eric Hattersheit, and I'm part of a group of independent tourism operators that you've probably never heard of. We deliver experiences that are beyond a photo shoot. When they're not, we actually have to change our guests' lives. But because we don't have unlimited budgets like the big brands, we have to think differently. We have to be clever with our marketing. We need to reach our audiences to make the impact, but we also need to be profitable right from the start. Unfortunately, traditional education is about 20 years behind, and they aren't teaching us what we need to know. So we've decided to take matters into our own hands. We're sharing marketing tactics that work today because we are experienced masters, and what we do matters. All right, guys, so if you're on with me and you are listening to this, obviously you heard the intro. Today's episode is going to be on how to tell interesting stories. So let me, explain where this thought process came from for today's episode. I was with a group of entrepreneurs and I didn't intentionally set out to teach a storytelling concept, but with those entrepreneurs, one of the things that came up was the concept of storytelling and using storytelling to engage an audience, captivate their attention, and then using that attention and that captivation, convince them to take some kind of action. And one of the guys in the group was saying, you know, I really wish I had a better framework for telling stories and finding a way that captivates attention, because he was giving a talk and he's like, I just felt like I was losing them. I was giving this talk on, I forget exactly what it was on. It was like, I think he owns a mortgage broker company, and he was giving a talk, which fair enough is a little bit, can be a dull subject if it's not addressed, right? And so he was losing his audience and he's like, I don't know how to tell stories. And then there was another guy that owned a rental business, and he was trying to understand how to tell stories to captivate his audience, a big part of which is events and then also weddings, and how to captivate their attention. And then there was a few other guys that said, yeah, it'd be awesome to have a framework to tell stories. And then one of the guys said, well, Eric, don't you have a framework for telling stories? Because you're pretty good at it. Now, I would refute that because I think I have a long way to go with telling stories and telling really interesting, engaging stories. I definitely could incorporate more humor into my stories, at least I think. But I do have a framework, and I think that's helped for telling stories. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you guys the framework that I have learned and studied and used and practiced over the years to tell stories. And one of the ways that I've used this framework has been when I have sold from stage. So you might not know this about me, but for about 4 to 5 years, I sold from stage. I was selling a marketing consulting program. It was a high ticket program. Prices started at $10,000. And in order to sell people into that program, in order to get clients and customers, one of the core ways that we brought people in was we would market to them typically online in a variety of different mediums. And then from there, we would bring them into a live workshop in person. So I'd fly around to different cities around the world, and I would deliver this workshop from stage. Now, in order to get someone to buy from you, you have to, by nature, you have to get adequate, at least, at telling stories that captivate their attention. Because what we would do is we would run this workshop for anywhere between half a day, so roughly 4 hours, to a full day, 8 hours. And basically, that's me on stage talking the whole time. And if that's the case, I better have something interesting to say, otherwise people are just gonna walk out. And what I can tell you as well is that in the beginning they did. I literally had people walking out of my rooms when I first started this. And luckily my mentor at the time was like, hey, the first try of doing anything, like the point of doing something the first time is just to do it. That's all there is. The point of doing something the first time is just to do it. Don't worry about what the results are, just the act of doing it is all you need to worry about. And so from those first workshops, I just kept doing it until eventually I had people at least stay in the room. And then from there, that started translating into sales, into high ticket sales, and I got pretty excited about that. But throughout this journey, I found that by telling different stories or finding different ways of telling stories, not only would it captivate people's attention, but it would actually dramatically change the amount of people at the end of those workshops that would sign up for our programs. And it wasn't because I changed what I was teaching them in those workshops, it was because of the stories that I told. And I found that to be really, really interesting. So this framework that I'm about to share with you guys, actually there's gonna be two frameworks that I share with you. One is the overarching high level framework, and then there's a framework within the first component of this that I'll share with you that's really helped me out. And the first part of this framework, which is a four-part framework, I learned this from the mentors that taught me to speak from stage. And then the framework for the first part, which is captivating people's attention and how to tell a story that captivates people's attention, I learned that from Michael Haig and Joseph Campbell, who are two individuals that basically have spent their lives studying story and screenplay and what stories captivate people's attention. So before I actually get into the framework, which I know that you're probably kind of already interested to learn, this framework that I developed from Michael Haig and, or I guess looked at from Michael Haig and Joseph Campbell, to give you a little bit of context around that, those two guys, somewhat independently from each other, and then their work started to overlap, they went around the world and they asked themselves a question, which was, is there a unifying storyline that humans just seem to be captivated by, to be interested in? Is there a pattern in what that storyline looks like? And in their research, independent from each other, they stumbled upon the same storyline, which is really, really fascinating. And they studied a cross-section of different tribes and cultures around the world. Michael Haig specifically studied film, and he looked at which films were box office hits, so which ones did really well based on, you know, people going and taking money out of their wallet and paying to see that film, and just compared that to a control group of films that they were okay, they were run-of-the-mill, but they didn't necessarily have the same box office acclaim, and he was looking for patterns in those box office hits. And what was interesting was this storyline that they found. And then another twist of the story is Michael Haig, in doing this work, he taught as a professor, and his work wasn't really going tons of places until Hollywood started picking him up. And one, I guess you could say, famous story is Will Smith. When Will Smith started looking to produce his own films, he wanted to dive into the same research and say, can I reverse engineer which film is a film that would get, or which storyline, I should say, is a storyline that would get picked up by an audience and would do better than another storyline? And so he was looking at films, and he actually hired a few guys to go and do this work for him and say, I want you to go look at which films produced well in box office and which ones won awards, and let me know, see if you can reverse engineer which ones were winning, if there's a common storyline in there. And what's interesting within that project was that those guys, they came back pretty soon with Michael Haig's work and said, hey, some guy's already done all this, maybe you should talk to him because he's here in California. So Will Smith and Michael Haig teamed up and they started producing films that you might be familiar with, things like Pursuit of Happiness, I Am Legend, I don't know, other films I'm drawing blanks on right now, but films that were really well received, and some of which won awards. And essentially, if you look at Will Smith's films and a lot of other films in Hollywood now, they follow this storyline. And Michael Haig now is one of the highest paid screenwriter and storyline consultants in Hollywood for this storyline that he, I'm not gonna say he developed it, but he found it within popular stories. And again, this is something that originally Joseph Campbell had studied before by just looking at all the different legends and myths and stories around the globe that transcended generations, probably thousands of generations, as popular stories. So I'm going to share that with you. What's that unifying storyline that captivates individuals' attention? And then I'm going to put that within this four-part framework. So let's jump into it, shall we? So first, this four-part framework with how we tell stories starts with point number one being why. And this is where you need to captivate attention. The why means, why does somebody want to listen to this whole story? Why does somebody want to actually pay attention, in some cases take notes, or at the very least be captivated with what you're saying? Well, you have to relate it to something that they are interested in or something that they would want as a result for themselves. And so when we start with the why, it usually is either, it can be as simple as like, oh, here's a fun fact, or here's an interesting thing, or capturing curiosity, or talking about an end result. But often that why, one of my favorites, is telling a story, telling a personal story sometimes, or telling the story of one of your clients or guests. And we've used this, here's the why for you guys, we've used this framework as captivating people's attention for guest testimonials. So we'll film a guest and we'll give them this rough framework and say, hey, could you talk about this? Or we'll talk about the guest, as long as we have their permission, of course, we'll tell a guest story and we'll say, this is a story of a guest that came and stayed with us, and this is their experience. This is what happened to them when they came to stay with us. So we've used this as testimonials, and we've used those testimonials, and you're gonna say, okay, that's great. How do you use that? Well, we've used it on our website. More importantly, we've actually used those testimonials in our digital platforms, and that has become a form of marketing for us, a form of advertising, where we actually, from that testimonial, we will see a high number of clicks going directly to inquire for bookings. So so the why is that first part, and it's saying, why does somebody want to listen to you for the next however long they're going to be listening to you, for an hour, 3 hours, 8 hours, whatever. So within this first part, the why, this is where I will introduce this script that Michael Haig came up with, this storyline for captivating people's attention. This plays into a concept that Joseph Campbell started, which was the hero's two journeys. And in the hero's two journeys, the reason that this storyline is called the hero's two journeys is because a really captivating storyline, it tells the story of someone going through the physical world, which is the one journey, the physical realm. And then the other journey is telling the story of someone as they go through their own emotional, mental, spiritual blocks and challenges and frustrations and failures. And the reason that's captivating to us is because we all go through it. And yet that often gets skipped in stories. So we want to make sure that we touch on those in a big way. So jumping into this framework of the hero's two journeys, the first part of this is what we call the backstory. So part one, by the way, if you're taking notes, I know the first time I heard this, I definitely wanted to take notes. If you're taking notes, so under part one, which is the why, there's actually going to be 8 sections for this, the hero's two journeys, or sometimes I'll call it the epiphany script. Because that's another thing that I want to address as well, is that you can't tell someone what to buy if you're trying to convince them to buy something. So if you're trying to convince someone to make a booking, it's really difficult to just say, hey, you should make a booking because you need it. Like, that's not a very convincing argument. So in order to get someone to buy, what you really need to look at is you need to provide them an opportunity to come to their own conclusions about why they need that thing, to come to their own epiphany about why they need that thing. And the best way of doing that we figured out, is you tell your own epiphany story, how you came to that same epiphany, in order to help them come to that epiphany through your story. So this Hero's Two Journeys, or the epiphany script, has 8 parts. The first part is the backstory. So first you need to delve into your backstory, and that backstory needs to be very similar or very close to the backstory of who you see as your audience, as your listeners. So when I tell a story to, let's say, a group of resort owners, I'm going to tell a story that's a story about my resort and the backstory about my trials and tribulations in trying to figure out managing and marketing that resort in the first year that I was there as a manager, and how difficult that was. If I'm telling a story to, for instance, if I get called in to do a talk or sometimes talks at a university or a college, then I switch completely. I don't talk about resorts because nobody there cares. They don't care about that backstory of being a resort owner. So I'll talk about how I used marketing to travel for free around the world when I discovered this when I was young. Because now I've got an audience that often they want to travel, they don't have money. So figuring out how to travel the world for free is something that's of interest to them. And so I'll tell a story around that. So your backstory needs to be relatable to the listener, to where they're at right now. From the backstory, you start going into what I call the wall. So the wall is where you've got this backstory, and then all of a sudden you hit this challenge. And this challenge is the challenge that your audience, your listener, they're facing right now. They're in that situation. They're trying to figure out what's the best way around it. So if you're talking about guest, their challenge might be, how do I actually get a moment to relax? How do I get a moment for myself? Or how do I get my family to connect without electronics getting in the way? It could be a number of different things, but you want to figure out what this challenge is, what the wall is for them. And within that wall, you describe the wall. And then for me, by the way, this isn't really my storyline. This is absolutely taken from Michael Haig. From the wall, you want to describe your external struggle. So what did that look like? What does it look like to someone that would be watching, looking from the outside in? What are you dealing with on a daily basis, on an hourly basis? Sometimes, what are you dealing with? What does that situation look like? And then from that description, you want to jump into your internal struggle. So what did it feel like? What did this wall feel like? What did the challenge feel like? Does it feel like you're drowning? Does it feel like you're being chained down? Does it feel like you are, you're in a fog the whole time? Like, what did that feel like? And it's really important to describe that, because that's where people start to relate to you, because people don't connect as much with visually looking at it. What they're going to connect on is that emotional component, saying, I know what that feels like. And that's where there's relatability. So point one, your backstory. Point two, your wall. And within the wall, you've got your external and your internal struggles and descriptions. From there, point number three, we talk about the desire. What is it that you want? So we've got this challenge, but you're trying to get somewhere. You're trying to get somewhere and trying to figure out where is it that I'm going? Where is it that I want to be? And you describe what that looks like. And when you describe your desires, that again needs to line up with the audience that's listening, needs to line up with their desire. If it's not their desire, they're like, I want to listen. So what is it you want to accomplish? Now you've got this, you know where you're going, but you've described the wall that's keeping you from getting there. The next point is where we actually talk about our epiphany. So we're kind of bumbling along. We're trying to figure this thing out. And if you want to, you can put an extra step in there. I've actually recently started adding an extra step, which is within that wall. What are the things that you tried before you hit your epiphany? So the struggle, maybe. What are the things that you've tried before you came to your epiphany? Because there's usually a number of things that you tried before you had found the thing that clicked. And so we want to describe that too. What are the things that you've tried? From there, then you hit your epiphany. And your epiphany is that moment where you're like, oh man, this is it. This is where I think I've figured it out. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. I see how I'm going to get out of this situation. And if I'm telling my resort story, for instance, my moment was I had gone through university, I'd studied marketing, and I was figuring out that nothing that I'd learned in university was actually helping me at the resort. And I was stuck. I was absolutely stuck. And it was really in a moment of desperation where I realized that I had done my education all wrong. I had been learning from professors in university how to manage and market a resort and that wasn't serving me. And so what I needed to do is I needed to learn from people that were actually doing it successfully. And that's where I started my journey, going around the world, trying to find the best in resort management and marketing and figure out what they knew and start a journey that way. And that's basically been my life the last decade, is learning from the best in the world and figuring out what they know and applying that. And a lot of it worked, some of it didn't. A lot of it didn't, I guess, as well. But I'm in a much better situation now because of that. Anyway, that's my epiphany was, oh, I have been learning from the wrong people. I need to shift gears. I need to switch a completely different direction and try something different. So from the epiphany, when we see that vision, then we form a plan. So if you're following along, I think my numbers are, one's the backstory, two is the wall, and then you've got your external, internal, three is desires, 3.5 is the things you've tried before you had your epiphany, four is the epiphany, and then five, we hit the plan. So we have that epiphany, and then we say, okay, I'm going to create a plan to achieve those desires. And we map out how we're going to achieve this thing that we've discovered, either mentally, like, so it was either shown to us, or maybe we just had an epiphany, but we form a plan for that. And from the plan, this is the interesting bit again, where you are, oh, by the way, the epiphany is the epiphany you want your audience to have when you're telling your story, and the plan is the plan that you would like them to have an epiphany for themselves that they need to make if they want to get to the point where you're at. Next, in that plan, after the plan, is when we talk about, we can either say the conflict, or we can say, what I will usually say is self-doubt, because that's the most common thing that creeps up. And the reason people are engaged with you talking about your self-doubt once you form that plan is because everyone does. Every time you have a moment where you have to step outside of your comfort zone into something new and you have no idea what that looks like, you will doubt yourself. But very few people talk about that self-doubt. So you form your plan, you say, this is where I want to go. And then as soon as you've done that, there's this devil's advocate that comes to your mind that says, oh, that's a really dumb plan. Why would you do that? Why don't you just sit where you are? Because it's safe, because it's what you know. It might not be good for you, but it's what you know. It's what you're comfortable with. And so you're here. Therefore, you want to talk about that. You want to talk about, you know, I formed this plan and then I doubted that this would actually work. I doubted that the things that I was thinking about or learning or planning would actually do anything. And I thought maybe it was stupid. And so I held myself back. So you can talk about that self-doubt, or the conflicts. That's step number six. But then number seven is you overcome the self-doubt. You overcome that self-doubt and you get a result. So, you overcome the self-doubt and you put into action the thing that you were planning. So you overcome the self-doubt, you put into action the thing that you were planning, and you get a result. So step number seven is the result. What was your end result? Obviously, you want that end result to be the end result that you want your listener base to understand. This is where you could be. And I shouldn't have to say this, but obviously you want this to be true. Don't ever tell a story or lead an audience down a road that you don't know to be true. So you don't make stuff up. But if you know with certainty that if they take that path, they will be in a much better spot than they're in right now, then you want to share that information. So you talk about, here's the result. Here's what happened for us. And then the last step here is step number eight, and this is the transformation. So this is often where it comes into film, is you went through this physical journey, but it wasn't just the end result that was the important experience to take out of this, living in this world. Step number eight is the transformation, and that is what transformation do you experience going through this journey, And how are you different now as a person as a result of going through this journey? And usually it will be in some way tied to tempering your characteristics, your emotional attitude, your spiritual attitude, the things you've learned. Maybe you've humbled yourself. Maybe you have you've become more grateful. Maybe you are valuing different things. Like, there's a number of different transformations that can come through this, and those are the life lessons that every human is trying to figure out. You're going through life and you're trying to figure out, how do I go through life and get something out of it, I guess? How do you go through life and not necessarily just enjoy it or be happy, because there's a lot of things in life that I think are rewarding and are not necessarily happy experiences in the moment. But how do I progress? How do I grow as a human, as an individual, into somebody that I personally respect in myself? So what does that transformation look like? All right. So if you guys are still with me, that was all under the why, and then that's telling the Hero's Two Journeys or the Epiphany script. That's how you tell that story. Now, I've gone through it and I've kind of explained each step. When you're telling this, keep in mind that it doesn't have to be super long. It can be anywhere from, my long versions are maybe 30, like half an hour is probably my longest. And then I can boil down that story. Actually, I could probably go longer than half an hour. If anyone's listening to episode one, basically episode one is a detailed version of my epiphany story. So I think that's like close to an hour. So let's call that my longest ever. But down to shortest time, like a minute. I've run ads using this, and they're anywhere between 2 minutes to 5 minutes. And those ads convert really, really well. In fact, they are, to this day, still, we haven't had any ads that have beat the Epiphany script ads, either from a personal standpoint or looking at sharing guest stories. So it's really powerful. Okay, so that's all under the why, which is step one in this four-part framework. Step two in this four-part framework, you captivate your audience with the why. Step two is the what. So what are we actually talking about today? So for instance, because I'm talking about storytelling today, I'm talking about storytelling, and I'm going to teach you how to tell a captivating story that actually encourages people to click the book button. From the what, then we launch into the how, and that's where we spend the bulk of our time. And that's where I just took you through, was here's how you do this thing. So around 80% of your talk, your presentation is going to be stuck in the how, going through the steps. And then the last bit is what we refer to as questions or what if. We'll often call it the what if factor. And the what if factor is you have a sense of who you're presenting to, and you say, okay, there's going to be individuals out there that say, okay, that's great for you, but how does that apply to me? So in this case, it might be, all right, that's great. You use those ads with guests as a testimonial for you as a resort. What if you're running a tour company? How would you run this if you were a tour company? All right, well, essentially I would do the same thing. I just might talk about the transformation tied to geography and how the different geography, that those locations can actually play strongly into a guest transformation. So you want to take them visually through that journey. Okay, well, that's great. What if, your resort, that's a tour company. What if you're a safari park? How does that work? Okay, great. Well, maybe there's relatability to people having these moments in a world that's very different to their own, and comparing and contrasting, and what you get out of a world like Africa if you happen to be from Europe, for instance. So we play this what if factor into it. What if I'm in this situation? What if I'm in that situation? Really, it's in some ways, it's overcoming those mental objections. Oh, that works for you, but I don't see how that works for me. What if you're me? Does this work? So we want to try and address as many of those questions and objections as possible to say, hey, if you're in this situation, this can work for you too. So we run through that. So that's it. That's my four. That's the four-part framework: is why, what, how, and then what if questions. So what if/questions. And then obviously in there, in the why, went into that, the Hero's Two Journeys, the Epiphany script, and walked through that to tell a compelling story. Now, you've got that. So that basically concludes this episode. What I will say, however, is you don't really get great at this unless you have an opportunity to practice. And I know for a lot of you listening to this, you might be in a position like I was in for years where you're in a bit of a remote position and you don't have the opportunity to, I don't know, join a Toastmasters or meetup groups, which are good. Those are great opportunities if you have them. If you're in a place where you can do that, I would encourage you. But a lot of times you're in a remote position. What's the next best thing to actually practice this? It really is, like when I was in that position, it's literally filming yourself and putting that out for your own social media. So putting it out organically. Later, if you get a little bit better, a little bit more comfortable, confident with it, you can actually put that into ads. That was my progression, putting it into ads. Another thing that you can do, and I've worked with some of my clients on this, is putting out either a YouTube channel, or if you're not comfortable in front of camera, which a lot of us aren't, and there's a lot of editing in that, looking at putting out a podcast. So something kind of like this. And it's not necessarily for you to garner an audience. That's not the intention here. The intention is just getting a better sense of how to tell stories and practice it. That's what it comes down to. And if you're like, I don't want to start a podcast, that's fair, because there's also time and effort that goes into that. Then you could even just record stories on your phone or on a recorder. Just record yourself telling a story and listen back to it and say, is that interesting? Does that captivate my attention? Have I used the framework? If the answer is no, then you can go back to it. And as much as I gave you guys a long framework for that, don't worry so much about the epiphany story. In the beginning, the big question you want to ask yourself is just that why. Why does somebody want to listen to the rest of this story? Realizing that the person that's listening, I got a mosquito. the person that's listening, they don't really care about you. When you come to that conclusion that nobody really cares about you, they care about themselves and how they can relate this to their own growth, to their own gain, you take that into account and say, okay, how do I tell a story where this person understands how this is going to benefit them? And you think about that every time. You say, why? Why are they going to care? That in itself will dramatically improve your storytelling ability. And it's what makes you a more engaged and more interesting person, which I don't think that hurts anybody to be in that position. As a matter of fact, being a great storyteller is strongly tied to status. I've talked about that in previous episodes, where your status actually increases with the ability to tell great stories, because you get invited to things. People want to hang around with you more. People want to share you with friends. They introduce you to other people, other networks, all through the concept of storytelling. So it's definitely something that I would encourage you to practice. It's not going to be lost on you in the game of life. All right, guys, that's all I've got. I know I've gone on and on. This episode went on like 100 times longer than I expected it would, which is not unusual for my stories, if you know me. If you know any of my clients or students, they joke, because I often will say, okay, story time, and I'll tell them a story that relates to the concepts that we're teaching or consulting them on. I use it quite a bit, but I do tend to drone on. Working on that, need to shorten my stories up. But we're now at a point where this is the official end of the episode. And if you got something out of that, would love you to take a moment, pause this, go leave me a review on Apple, would be the best if you can go on there. And just let me know what you're getting out of these podcasts. That'd be awesome. We're actually slowly starting to rise in tourism, at least. So within the tourism specter, we are now kind of in the top three space, I'll say that. And that's kind of cool. That's cool to see. So if you're getting something out of this, let me know, positive or negative. I read all the reviews, and yeah, it'd be good to hear from you. Also, if you're getting something out of this and you think that there's somebody else in this industry that could use this information, in tourism or maybe even outside of tourism, I've had a number of business owners come to me and say, hey, I'm learning really good concepts from you, even though I'm not in tourism. Go ahead, share this episode with a friend, take a screenshot of it, share it with them and say, hey, I think this would be a good episode for you to listen to, for whatever reason. So
go ahead and do that. All right. Thank you so much for your time. I know there's a million things you could be doing with it, but you're obviously here listening to me. If you made it all the way to the end, congratulations. Whew, you deserve a medal. All right. That's the end of this podcast. I'll see you guys next week.